Okay, so we're going to begin with the Hatzad Nacha Shelo Yishchenu. The Mishnah in Edyo says that if one traps a snake so as not to be bitten, so it's potter. And the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Gimel, Daf Kof Zayin says that this is one of the three places where potter doesn't mean potter velaser, but rather it means potter u mutter. The Gemara on Daf Kof Zayin in the base explains why is it potter u mutter. That even though this really should be Asr Midrabanan, because it would be a Malach Shenes Rich L'Gufa, I'm trying to get rid of the harm, trying to get rid of the bad, or I'm doing it for a purpose different than in the Mishkan, it's a Malach Shenes Rich L'Gufa. Nevertheless, they were Matirit B'Makom Tzar, and that this would be the view of Rabbi Shimon. But if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that Malach Shenes Rich L'Gufa is an Isser D'Oraisa, so then clearly it would be usur to trap a snake, shelo yishchenu. Now, obviously, we're talking about a case where there's no pikuach nefesh. If there was pikuach nefesh, everybody would agree. So where there's no pikuach nefesh, the simple reading of the Gemara is that this would be dependent upon the machlokas, Reb Yud and Reb Shimon. Tosfos on Daf Gimel Med Aleph quotes the view of the Bahag that says, wait one second, Shmuel was the Amora who says that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Mem Beis Mud Aleph, and yet Shmuel's the one who says this is Potter Umutter. So how could Shmuel say this? So Tosus answers in a Chanami, and Shmuel was saying that it's Mutter to explain the Mishnah Alibid Reb Shimon, but he himself holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and he himself would hold that it's Aser. So if you follow Tosfos, then if you were to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, this would certainly be Aser. Lididan, we follow Reb Shimon, it would be Mutter, but if you followed Reb Yehuda, it would be Aser. The problem, though, arises within the position of the Rambam. The Rambam, as we know, paskins like Reb Yehuda, that Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa is Chayev, and yet he paskins in this halacha like Reb Shimon. Rambam paskins like Reb Yehuda because he holds that there isn't a Stam Mishnah like Reb Shimon, and there's a general principle that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, yet in Perek Yud, halacha chaf hei, he says, the hatzad nacha shelo yishchenu mutter. Let's read that halacha. Rimasim hamazikin kigo nechashim vakravim ukiyotze bahen, afal pish ein memisin, hoil the noshchin mutter latzudosan b'shabes. Behu, she is kavein lihinatzel meneshichasan. Ketzad wosa, Kofen ala kofe kli alehan, o makif alehan, o koshran, kidei shelo yaziku. So this is a big problem, because according to the Gemara, there should only be two alibid Reb Shimon, and Rambam follows the Rabbi Yehuda. So the Magen Mishnah over there raises the issue. He says, well, maybe it's a machlokas in the Gemara. After all, there are different views in the Gemara, different lashonos. And the Rambam held that lemaskanas ha-Gemara, this is true, even Alibid Reb Yehuda. Now, still we have to ask, why is it true? Okay, so Naniach, it's not against the Gemara. Naniach, it's a machlokas in the Gemara. But still, L'chorah, it should be Malach Shein Shichel Guf, it should be Chayev. And we're not talking about Pikuach Nefesh over here. It doesn't sound like that. So, if so, how could the Rambam paskin this way? So, essentially, this question is already a question in the Bahag. And the Bahag himself, cited in the Ramban on Daf Mem Beis Mud Aleph, gives a very fascinating answer. The Bahag answers that the reason why it's mutter is because hazeka derabim, because it's a public danger. And seemingly saying we're matir, even in an iser d'oraisa, in the case of a public danger. And that has to be true, says the Bahag, because Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, and still Shmuel says here it's mutter. In other words, the way that the Bahag seems to be saying it is that we don't paskin like the Gemara Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. On the Gemara Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, it says that the reason why this is mutter is only Alibid Reb Shimon. No, the Bahag says we don't paskin like that Gemara. We paskin like a different Gemara. We'll see which Gemara soon. Paskin like a different Gemara. And the reason why this is mutter is because it's Hezeka Derabim. Now, the problem with this is, how could you be matir and Isser D'Oraisa because of Hezeka Derabim? That's the tricky question. The Gemara over there, Daf Mem Beis Mid Aleph, is talking about putting out, dealing with Hezeka Derabim. It says, Mechabin Gachela Shel Mateches, Avalo Shel Eitz. So if you have a coal made out of, from wood. So you may not put that out on Shabbos. But let's say you have a metal, a red hot metal, or so then you're allowed to put it out on Shabbos. And the Gemara says this is Reb Yehuda's opinion. And therefore, kibui gacheles is an iser deraisa, even though it's melach shen shichel guf, it's an iser deraisa. So why are you allowed to put out this gacheles shel mateches? So the Bahag says the reason why this is mutter is because hezeka derabim. In other words, according to the Bahag, hezeka derabim is matir and iser deoraisa. Masha'en kena gacheles shel eitz. It's not hezeka derabim. Why? Because everybody sees it. You see the little fire. Nobody's going to, step on the fire and notice it. But a gachela shel mateches, it's a hezeka derabim and it's mutter. Now, this is a mechudish reading of the Gemara. For example, the way Rashi reads the Gemara is that the difference between eitz and mateches is that when it comes to mateches, there is no iser d'oraisa at all. And that the basic principle is you can never be matir and iser d'oraisa unless it's pikuach nefesh. Hezeka derabim is not a matir for an iser d'oraisa. Why is there no iser d'oraisa for mateches? So it might be because it can't make a pecham, it's not the turas malacha, maybe it's not really an eish. Bezus Hashem will have a chance to talk about that gemara a little later. And we'll return to the question why, according to Rashi, there's no iser d'oraisa, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, for gachela shel mateches. But there isn't. So Rashi's reading of the Gemara is the simple reading of the Gemara, which is that the only time you're ever allowed to be mechal Shabbos for an iser d'oraisa is b'makom pikuach nefesh. But the way the Bahag reads that Gemara is that, no, that for hezeka derabim, you could permit an iser d'oraisa. So how could that be? How could that be? So the Ramban tries to explain the Bahag, and the Ramban there says that hezeka derabim is like a safek pikuach nefesh. What does that mean? In what sense is it a safek pikuach nefesh? Because presumably, when there are lots of people around and there is this dangerous thing, so you can't be careful about it. In other words, if it's just an individual, if it's not Rabim, so you could be careful. Everybody could stay away from the dangerous thing. But when we're talking about Rabim, so you can't be sure that nobody's going to be harmed. And therefore it's a suffik pikuach nefesh, and therefore we are matir. So that's basically what the Ramban says. The Rashba says the same idea. He doesn't actually say pikuach nefesh, but I think he might mean this as well. In other words, the idea that you get from the Ramban, the Rashba, in their interpretation of the Bahag, is that whenever you're dealing with hezek derabim, we're more concerned. And even a far-fetched possibility is something that you have to be concerned about. And therefore, you could even be mechalel Shabbos in what would otherwise be an iser d'oraisa. That's the view of the Bahag. Now, it's not so straightforward because Reb Yehuda himself doesn't hold that way, right? The Mishnah says, kuf chaf aleph amud aleph, kof and ki'ara. And in this context, it says, al akrav shelo tishach, am Rav Yehuda, ma'isa ba'lefnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai be'arev, va'amar choshashani lo mechatas. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, cited by Rabbi Yehuda, says, actually, I think that putting this kli to trap this snake or the akrav is achshash iser deraisa, choshashani lo mechatas. So, choshashani, maybe he was unsure. But at least it wasn't so clear cut. So basically what we have then is a machlokas within the opinion that states that you're chayev for malacha she'en etzricha l'gufa, what's the din in this type of hezek rabim? And therefore the Rambam concludes that even though, or the Bahag, we'll get to the Rambam in a second, that even though we paskin your chayiv for melach shen shichel gufa, we maintain that b'makom hezeka derabim, it's mutter. And again, the way, the understanding of this, according to the Ramban, is that because there's a far-fetched possibility of pikuach nefesh, because whenever you're dealing with a rabbim, it's impossible to be confident that everybody will pay attention. Therefore, it becomes necessary to be matir nisa deraisa, and that type of far-fetched concern was one that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was uncertain about. He thought maybe that's too far-fetched, and therefore, choshishani lo mechatas. But we paskin l'hokel on that, and therefore we paskin, we meaning the Rambam, or the Bahag, that is mutter.
By a snake. Yeah. Isn't it different than a dangerous coal? Because a snake, if it's not poisonous, who cares if it's a danger to the masses?
Well, it doesn't say, we didn't say that the snake isn't poisonous.
Rambam said that even doesn't kill.
Yeah, well, let's start with, we'll stick with the Bahag for now. We'll get back to the Rambam Shita. This probably is not the Rambam Shita. And the Rambam really sounds like he's giving a different hatter. So we'll get back to it. But within the view of the Bahag, the Bahag, I would imagine, is we're dealing with a snake that maybe generally doesn't bite, but every so often bites, or when provoked bites, or there's a far-fetched chance that it'll bite if you don't stay away from it, or something like that. Right. This explanation, we brought up the Rambam really to show that this question exists within the Rambam, but the first mahalach we're going to give to explain this, how could this be mutter, even if you pass on the view, is within the view of the Bahag, and the Bahag says that the reason why this is mutter is because it's a chshash rachok of sakana. So that is the first approach. The second approach is the Urayim. The Urayim disagrees with the Bahag, and he says that we can't be matir and iser de oraisa because of hezekah, and even hezekah de rabim. But the reason why this is permissible, even if you're generally speaking mechayev for a melacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa, is because if you're just trapping l'havriya chanachash me'elav, that's not seida. That's not seida. So this yireim we brought up already in the first shir. And we mentioned that the yireim has a understanding that the melacha is such, his lashon is very simple. Ach, safer le Shmuel, dechot seida she'ena ela lahavriach es hahezek mimenu lo mekariat seida. In other words, we can't translate seida as trapping, such that any type of trapping would be chayev. No, that's not true. Shmuel holds that if you trap something in order to protect yourself, so that is not called seida. So what's the biur? So this is what we mentioned already at the very beginning, that it would seem that, or one way at least to understand this, is that the Yireim understands that the definition of seida is hachnasa l'rishuscha, and when you're just doing it l'havriach es hanezek, so then that's not tzeid at all. It's not a hachnasa l'rishus. And therefore, right, adarabba, you want this out of your rishus. If there's one thing you don't want, it's a snake. And therefore, in this type of situation, it is mutter. In other words, this type of answer is, again, whether you accept my explanation of it or not, the approach that the Ram is taking is an idea that we've seen many times in the
Ramban, we saw it ironically.
Right. But we've seen it many times in the Rishonim where they said that certain things, let's say Tosfos, he says, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Zomer Veino Tzorech Le'etzim is potter for Ktsira, because the Tzorech for the Eitzim is part of the definition of the Malacha. So Zomer Veino Tzorech Le'etzim isn't just Eino Tzorech Le'gufa, which would be Chayv according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's nothing. It's zero. It's not the Malacha. The Kavana is sometimes part of the definition of the Malacha. And therefore, in this case, the Kavana, which is L'Havriach Mimenu Es HaNezek, is part of the definition of the Malacha. And therefore, when you lack that Kavana, you would be potter. And therefore, in this case, it's going to be mutter. So that is the approach. And again, here too, obviously, this isn't a straightforward point, which is why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as we said, was mesupik. Chol sheshani lo mechatas. It seems like the machlokas tanaim wasn't necessarily a machlokas about Hezekah derabim permitting an Isser Daraisa, as the Bahag would have it, but a machlokas about the geder of the malacha. How do you define the malacha? Is trapping lavriach mimenu es hanezek begeder tzeda or not? And Shmuel's paskening, it's not begeder tzeda, and therefore it's mutter. So that's then, approach number three, number two, as to, on the one hand, how you could paskin like Reb Yehuda, and at the same time also paskin that it's mutter latzod kidei shelo yishchanu. Yes.
Shouldn't that mean that Rabbi Shimon comes, that the Aram comes out against the Gemara Kavzayin and Beis?
Perhaps. Yes. In other words, that's according to any approach that we're going to take to explain these views, that's going to be true.
Right. But meaning at least
to some degree.
Hypothetically, the Smag slash Ramban have another Gemara.
Yeah. What this approach is going to say is that, look, there's Rav's position on Kuf Zayin Beis that this is only Mutar Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, but the Bahag or the Reim or whatever it is, they're going to say, no, we could really paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and still paskin that it's Mutar. And in Chanami, there's a machlokas, in this case, if we're within a view of the Reim, there's a machlokas how to understand the nature of the Malacha. Is Seda to Lahavriach Hasanezek Begeder Tzeda. Okay, the third approach is in the Magen Mishnah. This is going to be the third and fourth approach because you can read the Magen Mishnah in two different ways, and we'll see the Achronim read the Magen Mishnah in two different ways. The Magen Mishnah explaining the Rambam, I'll first say what I think is the simpler reading of the Magen Mishnah, is that the reason why this is mutter is because it's tzeda shelo kedarko. It's tzeda shelo kedarach. And that's why we are matir it b'makom tsar. Because, you know, normally shelo kedarach is an iser d'rabanan, but here, b'makom tsar, they were matir. This is if we look towards the end of the Magen Mishnah, v'chein tzedas nachash, she'eno tzad kedarko, elemis aseg bo, ukemo shizbar lamata. He then, in his Inami, he brings up the Bahag. So it's Shelo Kedarko, and Shelo Kedarko, they were Matir B'makom Tzar. Now, how is it Shelo Kedarko? So I assume the answer is that the way in which you trap something when you want the thing is different than the way in which you trap something when you don't want it, right? I don't know. In modern day examples, if you put out a glue trap, right? You never put out a glue trap, right, for anything that you want to keep because it gets all gross. And the truth is, it's a shtickel mashma that way, maybe from the Lashon of the Rambam. Because the Rambam, after writing this halacha, he says, Ketzat hu osa, which is very strange. Why does he need to give examples, right? The Rambam is not in the business of teaching us trapping advice. But that's exactly what he writes. He writes, Ramasim hamazikim kegon nechashim v'akravim kiyozi bohan, afal pishen mamisin ha'ol v'noshchen mutar latzud osam b'shabes. So what do? Now, why in the world did he need to give these examples? Like, I need advice. So if you learn, like the Magid Mishnah, that this is Shelo Kedarko, so then I can understand why the Rambam decided to give you ketzads, to give you examples. These are examples of the types of trapping that you would do, which are all considered chalokadarko, and that's why it's potter, and in this case, b'makom tsar, it's mutter. Now, don't ask me what the normal derech is, such that this is chalokadarech. I don't know. I'm not a trapper, but apparently these examples that the Rambam gives, these illustrations, this ketzad, are examples of chalokadarko ways of doing seida.
Rebbe,
according to this, yes.
Didn't the Tosefta that Tosis on Yud Zayin quoted say, I know the Girsa might be a little not posh, but like, didn't that say that putting a trap on top of an animal would be say the Daraisa?
So we might add, going back to the point that we said before, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Mesupik over here. He held that this is say the Daraisa. In other words, he didn't hold it's Kalachar Yad. So again, whatever explanation we're going to give for this shita, this is our third one, the explanation has to be one which isn't pashut, such that there's a tzad to say fakert, there's a tzad to say choshashani lo mechatas, that you're chayef. So again, it could be that if we follow this mahalach of the Magen Mishnah, that's the machlokas here. Do these types of trappings constitute shalokadalko or not? Shmuel Paskins, it's considered shalokadalko, and therefore it's mutter. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, wait, choshashani lo mechatas, this type of kilachar yad, this type of shinoi, this isn't enough to be considered kilachar yad, and therefore it's an shachshash deraisa.
I mean, I agree it wouldn't explain the fact that the Rambam gives examples, but couldn't you say al derech Reb Shimon Shkup that if you define the malacha as the act, so then your kavana is going to define whether it's a malacha of tzeda?
Yeah, so that's a Yireimdik approach. In other words, that's a variation of the Yireim. What the Yireim is saying is that the kavana is what defines the malacha, and when you're not machaven, then it's pater and b'makom tzar mater. So that's approach number two. In other words, you could definitely use that Reb Shimon's Mahalich to explain, to take the approach of the Urayim, that this isn't Seda. But that's not what the Magen Mishnah is saying. The Magen Mishnah is saying it's Shelo Kedarko. In other words, it is Seda, it's just a different type of heter. Okay, approach number four, and this might be what the Magen Mishnah means as well, is that it's not just the Magen Mishnah didn't mean to be matir al Shelo Kedarko. He meant to be matir alt misasek, right? Because that is the lashon of the Magen Mishnah. He sort of says both. He writes, "V'chein tzedas anachash she'eno tzad kedarko ela kemisasek bo." That's why it is mutter. So maybe this isn't a heter of shelo kedarko; it's a heter of misasek. Now the truth is, the lashon of the Gemara is kemisasek. If you look at the Machtzis HaShekel, for example, Sif Katan Yud Beis, the Mishnah Berurah Chav Zayin, they understand that the Havana of the Rambam and the Magid Mishnah is Misasek. And the truth is that other Rishonim understand that on the Gemara in Kuf Zayin and Yud Beis. The Gemara over there says by Parush, the Rush and the Toisus HaRush say by Tzedas Parush Shalo Yishchenu, so the lashon there of the Rush and Tosa Rush is de'eno kemis kaven latzudo, ela kemis asek shelo yishchenu. The same type of idea that it's a heter of mis asek shelo yishchenu as opposed to Tosa over there. Now, the question is, in what way is it mis asek? Over in that case of the Rush and Tosa Rush, it's easier to understand because you have this flea on you or whatever it is, and you're getting rid of it. So in the process of getting rid of it, you might trap it for a second or two or whatever it is. That's just kemisasek shelo yishchenu. Here, where you're like putting a bucket on this snake or something like that, it's not as easy to understand. But the basic point is that an act that I do while trying to protect myself from getting bitten, kemis asik bo shelo yishchenu, is not begeder tzeda. And we're going to return to this question, but it may very well be that to say something like this, you also have to get back to the definition of the malach of tzeda along the lines of what we're saying for the Urayim, or along the lines of what Yoni was just saying from Reb Shimon, and to say that it's something about the malach of tzeda where we say when you're misasek bo shelo yishchenu, it's begeder misasek. Finally, approach number five, not the last one, but the second to last one, is the bir halacha. The bir halacha, tzimin shin tazayin siv zayin dibur maschon nechashim, says that actually the only way we could understand this for the Rambam is to say that a snake is ein b'mino nitzod. And therefore, since it's ein b'mino nitzod, we're not dealing with an issur d'orais, and b'makom tzar, they were matir it. Now, this is a very, well, what does ein b'mino nitzod mean? So it obviously doesn't mean the way Rashi reads it. Ein b'mino nitzod, according to Rashi, is malach shein tzvichel gufa, right? Because Rambam is machai for ein tzvichel gufa. But rather, it means ein b'mino nitzod like tosfos. It's a type of animal that's not usually trapped, and therefore, it's a type of animal that's not hunted, that's not trapped. So therefore, it's not an issur deraisa. That's the way the Bir Halacha learns the Rambam. Now, the problem with that is that, but doesn't it say explicitly that if you do it l'refuel, you're chayev? So the Magid Mishnah, the Bir Halacha notes that the Rambam didn't pass in that halacha. He didn't say what the Mishnah says, which is that if you do it l'refua, you're chayev. So the Rambam must have held that a snake is en b'mino nitzod, so we're only dealing with an issur d'rabbanan, and therefore b'makom tsar you are potter and therefore mutter. Now again, Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai was choshishani lo mechata, so maybe he disagreed. He held it was yesh b'mino nitzod, and the Bir Halacha actually says that's l'shitaso, because this explains why Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Elazar, who are both Talmidim of Yochanan ben Zakkai, disagree about this question of whether there's a chiyuv for Ein Bemino Nitzod, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself was unsure about it. So again, that's heter number five. Heter number six is Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim, Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Zayin, very famous Reb Chaim, says that what's the pshat in the Rambam? That the pshat in the Rambam is because it's Davar Shein Miskaven. And the truth is that the Lashon of the Rambam really sounds that way. The Rambam's Lashon was Ramasim Hamazikin Kigon Nachashim Vakravim Kiyoti Bahen Afal Pi She'enan Mimisin Ha'wil V'noshchin Mutter Latzud Osam B'Shabbes V'hu She'iskaven Le'inatzel Nishichasan. In other words, it's Davar she'enu miskaven, you're not miskaven latzud. You're enu miskaven latzud. You're miskaven lihinatzel. So Reb Chaim says that lashon sort of indicates, it's not clear by any means, but it sounds a little bit like it's a heter of davar she'enu miskaven. Now, there's an obvious problem with saying that this is davar she'enu miskaven, which is that it's a psik resha. In other words, on the one hand, Davar She'enu Miskaven is the perfect solution. Why? Because the Rambam paskins like Reb Shimon that Davar She'enu Miskaven is mutter, right? He paskins like Reb Yehuda for Enes V'chol Gufa, but he paskins like Reb Shimon for Davar She'enu Miskaven. So if we could call this a Davar She'enu Miskaven, it's great that the Rambam says this is mutter. But the problem is, how is it a Davar She'enu Miskaven? A, it's a psik resha, and B, forget psik resha, it is Miskaven. What do you mean, Enu Miskaven? A Miskaven Latzud, right? And that's basically, if you look at the Gilyonis of the Chazon Ish, this is his time on Reb Chaim. He says, how could you call this Davar She'enu Miskaven Manavshach? If you're going to say that the Hagdara, the Malach of Tzad, is restricting the freedom of the animal, so then you're Mamish Mechavein. It's not Davar She'enu Miskaven. It's Mamish Davar She'enu Miskaven. And if you're going to say that the Hagdara of the Malacha is something like the Ireim, it's Hamadas Habal Chai Birshuso, then it's not a Malach at all, like the Ireim said. How could you say it's in a miskaven? Either it's miskaven or it's not a malacha. Davar She'enu Miskaven means you did the malacha, but you were miskaven to the malacha. So that's the kasha that the Chazon Ish asks. Aaron, if you ask a question, you could ask it, but I can't read the those little things. So what's the answer? So l'chaora, maybe, I don't know, maybe Reb Chaim would say that the Hagdar the Malacha is Hamada L'Rishas. But what we said before for the Ireim actually is very strange, because we said, well, the Gdara is Hamada L'Rishas, and here I don't want to be ma'amidah to my Rishas. Fine. But L'maisa, I was. It's in my Rishas. It's in my house, in my room, in a bucket. It is Birshusi. I have no interest in it being Birshusi, but it definitely is Birshusi. So therefore, that's exactly what we call a Davar She'enu Miskaven. Now, psik resha we'll get to in a moment, but it's a Davar She'enu Miskaven. The definition of the malacha, you're right, Chazon Ish. If the definition of malacha was limiting its freedom, so then it's miskaven. But if the definition of malacha is hamadi b'rishuso, so this is classic Davar She'enu Miskaven. Why? I was ma'amid in my rishos, but I don't want to be ma'amid in my rishos. So that's exactly what happened here. I did something that I'm not mechaven to do. So therefore, it's Davar She'enu Miskaven. Aye, but it's a psik resha. Says Reb Chaim, the Rambam holds like the Aruch, that psik resha delo nichalei is mutter. So this is a psik resha delo nichalei. I have no interest in being my midis ber shusi. I would much rather not have a pet snake. But lemaisa, this was my only option, so I did it. So I was my midit ber shus, shelo b'kavan, it's Davar She'enu Miskaven, and if you hold like the Aruch, then it's going to be okay. P'sik reshit lo nichalei is aser, is mutter. Now the truth is that if you look at Rashi, Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, Dirascho Akrav, Shalo Nashach, it actually sounds like this way also. Rashi writes that why is this mutter? V'afagav d'memela mitzad, even though it's memela trapped, it's mutter. Right? So what's that lashon of afagav d'memela mitzad? It sounds like Darvashen Miskavin as well. In other words, Rashi also sounds like this is a heter of Darvashen Miskavin. It's actually much clearer in Rashi, I think, than in the Rambam. Rashi, again, take a look. Kuf Zayin, Amud Aleph. Rashi writes, bottom, last Rashi in the parak, Al Akrav Shalotishach V'Afal Gavdi Memela Mitzad. So it sounds to me like Reb Chaim that it's a heter of Darvashen Miskavin. Now, again, we have a kasha because... What do you mean? Of course, you're mechavin latzud, but again, this could be like we said before in to explain Reb Chaim and the Rambam. We'll get there. So I will talk about that now. Now, first of all, so basically, what you're pointing out correctly is that Rashi and Kuzan on base is a different heter, right? And so does the Gemara, because the Gemara said the heter on Kuzan on base is because it's right? And by the way, you have the same stira, but it's not a stira, it's a machlokas, in terms of mapis morsa, both in Rashi and in the Rambam, right? By mapis morsa, kozayin amud aleph, Rashi says, what's the heter? It's not, it's garnished, right? Mapis morsa, Rashi says, pater, umoter, dein kantikon, it's garnished, right? Because it's just la'otzi mimen aleicha, it's not misakin kli, it's not bona pesach, right? And on Amud Beis, what's the Gemara say? Why is this mutter? And Sfich L'Gufa. In other words, what is this? What's going on over here? It's Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. What's the reason? According to Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, the view of Shmuel, the reason why this is mutter in the case of Tzeda is because Davashen Miskaved. And the reason why it's mutter because Map is Morsa is because it's garnished. And what about Amud Beis? What's the reason for Rav? Rav says the reason why it's mutter is because of what? And it's Vichal Gufa. And why do they argue about it? And the same thing, by the way, in the Rambam, right? You have to say the same thing in the Rambam. The Rambam also paskins that Mapis Morsa is Mutter, and he also paskins and it's Vichal Gufa is Chayev. So the point is, we have a Machlokas, Amorayim here, between Rav and Shmuel, how to understand the reasons why these are Mutter. And I think the pshat is like this. I think Rabbi Salusky actually said, made this hara, which is this Mishnah is a Mishnah in Edios, and the Gemara says that we always paskin like Mishnahs and Edios. So we know this is true for some reason or the other. You just have to figure out why. And Rav, who holds like Rabbi Shimon, that Ein Tzrich L'Gufa is Pater, so he explains the Heter based off of Ein Tzrich L'Gufa. Shmuel, who holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that Ein Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayev, has to come up with some other explanation why this is true, so we could say this Mishnah is Aliba Delchasa, Aliba Lishitaso, that we pass on like Reb Yehuda. So what is that heter? So again, for Mapis Morsa, Rashi says, because Ein Kantikun, and for Tzeda, it's because it's Davashen Miskavin. And the Rambam is basically doing the same thing. In other words...
Is Rebbe saying that Rashi had a rai from the Gemara on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph that Shmuel was learning differently than Rav? Or?
No, I don't know. I don't know how Rashi knew this, but it might be, because Rashi doesn't say. But there's a couple of reasons. First of all, just because the Gemara on Kuf Zayin doesn't bring up Ein Tzrich L'Gufa like it does on Amud Beis, that's the Chiddush of Rav. On Amud Beis. And moreover, again, he might be motivated by the same issue that the Bahag had, which is that Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, and presumably he's going to paskin like this Gemara in Mishnah and Edios, so therefore he's going to have to come up with something else. Right? In other words, the same issue that Tosfos and Daf Gimel is dealing with and the Bahag's dealing with. So here we have Rashi dealing with that issue in his own way. And he's saying that there's a machlokas over here, Amurayim, how to understand the heter of the Mishnah. And that's why Rashi very carefully explains the heter on Amud Aleph in a totally different way than he does on Amud Beis. Yes, Aaron.
So this would also be a big kasha on the Be'er Halacha's Mahalach and the Rambam. If the Gemara says that we always hold like those Mishnayos, so the Mishnah says that you're Chayav Mishum Refuah, and also the Rambam Perish and Mishnayos I posted also sounds that way. So,
Yeah, I think that Be'er Halacha just, you know, he says this Mitoch Omer Kushya, but even though he says that, I think probably he would say that he does have a very good diuk in the Rambam and Mishnah Torah, that the Rambam didn't say Im l'refua chayev, right? I think that's why the Be'er Halacha feels like he could say this. In other words, the Be'er Halacha knows that this is machlokas tanayim, right? Whether l'refua you're chayev or not. Like you said, it's mefurish in a gemara Im l'refua chayev. Yet the Rambam omits that. So why did the Rambam omit?
The thing in the Mishnah chayev? Says the refuah chayev.
I understand. So in Yad HaChazaka of the Rambam, why did he omit im l'refuah chayev? It must be that he thinks that it's not true l'didan. In other words, we who paskin that this is mutter, that that kol p'tur de Shabbos are part of l'asar chutz mitzedas nachash l'ishchana, which is tzedu mutter, must be that's because that it's in b'mino nitzot. How else do you explain why the Rambam omitted in Refuah Chayev? So that's the big raya that the Be'er Halacha brings.
Okay. Rashi comes down in Amar Alchem and says Apagav is a spur to matter.
Yeah,
something for the aster, no? Apagav the
no. He's explaining why it's mutter. Afagav de Meil Mitzvah. That's the Havamina that you would think it's. Let me say it differently. Maybe I said it wrong. Rashi is not here explaining why it's mutter. Rashi is describing what's going on here, right? And he's saying that what's happening over here, it's tzad memela, which is davashin miskaven, right? Now, he's not telling you why it's mutter. It's mutter because it's tzar. But he's describing it, and he's describing it in words of Davar Sheni Miskaven. Because if you didn't learn like Reb Chaim, you would never say this is Tzeda de Memela. This is Tzeda Biyadayim, right? Maybe it's Klachar Yad if you learn like the Magen Mishnah. But if you learn like the Ireim, it's not even Tzeda at all. If you learn like the Bahag, it's Mutter because of Pikuach Nefesh. You would never call it Tzeda de Memela. Tzeda de Memela is a lashon that sort of sounds like Davar Sheni Miskaven. Okay, so what do we say in the Shulchan Aruch? So if we look in Shulchan Aruch, Sef Zayin, Sef Yud, Mishnah Berurah Chav Zayin, it comes out like this. It's aser to kill this snake, at least if it's not Ratz Acharav, but it's mutter to do Tzeda again with a stam nachash that's not muad lahazik. And even though a nachash is yesh b'mino nitzot, because kavana l'refua your chayev, still, l'chora, the Shulchan Aruch saying the heter is because of enetzricha l'gufa, right? And therefore it's mutter. Now the question is, well, if you actually think that the heter is because of enetzricha l'gufa, so then, why, Lamaisa, are we going to be more machmir for Tzeda, for Hariga than we are for Tzeda? In other words, if you pass on like the Rambam, I understand why we're going to be more machmir for Hariga than Tzeda, because the heter is not because of Ein Tzrich L'Gufa. It's some other heter. It's mutter, let's say, because it's Davar, it's like the Magen Mishnah, I don't know, it's Klachar Yad, it's Shaloka Darko. So that's not going to be a heter. That will be heter for Tzeda. It won't be heter for Riga. For Riga, you'd be killing it in a normal way. So for the Rambam, that the heter isn't rooted in Tzrich L'Guf, I understand why we're machalik between Tzeda and Riga. But Ladidan, we pass like Reb Shimon. So therefore we passkin that the reason why this is mutter is because it's Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa B'Makom Tzar. They're matir melach shen shichul gufa b'makom tzar. So just like they were matir tzeda, so then why in the world wouldn't they have been matir hariga? So Tosfos is also troubled by this question. Tosfos also thinks that the heter, as we've seen, is because of enetzrichul gufa. So Tosfos says there's a this is Tosfos on Kuf Chaf Aleph on the base, that Hariga might be worse because it's Mefarsima Milsa Tfei Mibitseida. In other words, it looks like a more obvious Chilul Shabbos. It's more of a Bizayon of Shabbos. Trapping sort of looks like a backhanded. It's not your real item. Whatever it is exactly, it doesn't look so bad to do Tzeda, but to do Hariga looks really bad. And therefore, Taisa says that Hariga is worse. Tzeda is going to be much, Hariga is going to be usher. In other words, it's not a fundamental difference. It's just sort of a Zilzul Shabbos type of thing. Now, that, by the way, will explain another point, which we're going to get to a little later, which is why we paskin that it's mutter lahargo lefitumo, right? Meichot tesi to be mechalik, especially we're not going to, most Rishonim reject Rashi's view. Rashi's view sounds like lefitumo means something like davishen miskaved. But almost all the Rishonim who died from the Gemara against Rashi, that hargo lefitumo means even if you're mechavein. So if you're mechavein, so then what does lefitumo help? So the Ran says, well, but according to Tosfos, it's very meduyak. Why are we more make a lefitumo? Very simple. Because what's the whole reason why we're more machmir for Hariga? Is because it's a Zilzul Shabbos, it's mefarsim amilsa. So memela, if it's lefitumo, it's not so mefarsim amilsa. Even though, of course, you had total kavana to step on this stake and smush it. Right? But the onlooker doesn't realize, the onlooker just thinks you're walking across the room to go get to the other side, and whoops, oh, I crushed a steak. Huh, how do you like that? Right? So that's not mefarsim amilsa. That's going to be like Seda. It's mutter. We're matir and it's vichlagufa for tsar of this sort. So if you learn like Tosfos, that the reason why we're more machmir for Hariga than we are for Seda is because mefarsim amilsa, so then it's very easy to understand why we would also have this unusual kula over here of lefi tumo. Now, if you look at sif yud, so you're allowed to kill a nachash, shiratz acharav, asha eno meimis. And even if it, well, let's get back to that. Okay, good. Now let's turn for a moment. We've talked about killing and trapping snakes. Let's talk about killing and trapping parush. Parush, I don't know, we'll translate it as a flea, some type of biting insect that is not, it's not a particularly a bad bite. So it says on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, Hatzad es haparush, Rabbi Yoshua Poter. Tosfo says, Poter v'laser, but im no shecha adam, then it's mutter likachenu ulehashlicho me'alav demishum tsar shari. So I have this parush, I have this flea, and our fleas don't really bite. Let's imagine a mosquito, I think, would be a might be a good example that we're used to. So you're not allowed to stam trap a mosquito. Your mosquito's flying around your room, you can't take a cup and cover the mosquito. But you see the mosquito on your skin. Sometimes he's about to dig in. So then you're allowed to get rid of it. And even though, you know, the only way to get rid of it is actually to trap it, otherwise he's not leaving, then Tosa says that is mutter. Again, what a parush is, it's not a mosquito. I think it's more likely to be a flea. In fact, you know, the Rishonim try to figure out what's the difference between a kina and a parush. Which one is black, which one is white? So obviously a parush is something probably much more similar to a louse, except that it's a paravirava, but that's a different issue. So the machlokas, there's a machlokas Rishonim cited in the Beis Yosef and Sif test, whether it's mutter only when it's biting, or even if it's not biting, but you're afraid it's going to bite. So Tosfos sounds like it's us, or it's mutter only if it's actually about to bite you, it's on your skin. And the Ran is a little more makel. He thinks it's mutter. If you're misyare, shama yishchenu. And we'll see the Shulchan Aruch Paskin's l'chumra on that. Now, is it mutter to kill this mosquito? In other words, in the event that I'm mutter to trap it, right, is it mutter to kill it? There's a mosquito on my hand. It's about to bite in. So I slap it, smush it. Is that mutter? So the Beis Yosef, again, in Shinta Zayin Sif Tes quotes a machlokas Rishonim about this. Some say it's aser, because, as we've seen, killing is more chamor, and some say it's the same. And we paskin lahalach also luchamra on this, that it's aser to kill it. So again, here too, we have to ask, why should this be different than Seida? They're both enesrich l'gufa. So again, according to Rambam, it's very easy why you'd be mechalik. But what about according to everybody else? So one possibility is, like Tosa said, it's mefarsima milsa. It doesn't much look like trapping when you go like this and you get rid of it, even if you did trap it for a couple seconds. There's another answer, though, and this is the answer that the Bir Halacha prefers, which is that Seida is basically chad, is trei derabanan, and killing it is chad derabanan. Killing it is enetzrich l'gufa, but that's it. Seida is both enetzrich l'gufa plus en b'minonitzot, right? Mosquitoes, nobody has mosquito collections. At least that's pretty uncommon. So it's a double derabanan. Or the way the Bir Halacha says it a little differently. He doesn't say it's a double derabanan. He says under all circumstances it's going to be a derabanan. Whereas, because en b'minonitzot, whereas the killing it under different circumstances could be an iser d'oraisa. But the basic idea is that if it's a double drabanan, seida, it's a double drabanan, so we're more makel, and that's why you're allowed to trap it. But killing it is a single drabanan, and therefore we are more machmir. Now, in terms of this heter that we have to do seida for the mosquito, it's actually interesting because there seems to be a machlokas rishonim exactly how to formulate the heter. If you look at the Rush and the Taisa Rush, we mentioned this before, they emphasize that it's misasek. De'eno k'miskavein latzudu ela k'misasek shelo yishchenu. If you look at Taisvis, he sounds like the hatter is because of ein etzricha l'gufa, and he compares it to tzedes nachash. In other words, it could be the way the Rush and the Rashba say the hatter. This would be true even aliba de harambam, even if you hold, like Rabbi Yehuda, that ein etzricha l'gufa you're chayev. And also the Rashba sounds more like the Rush. The Rashba has an additional kunz. He says, "Dehave leke kotz birshos arabim." The reason why you're allowed to trap the mosquito is it's like a kotz birshos arabim. Now, what does that mean, right? So take a look on Mem Beis Med Aleph, and the point I think there is actually a different point. He's saying that there's no iser tiltal for kotz birshos arabim, or matir muksa in that case, right? And so too, you don't have to worry about when you're getting rid of this, when you're picking up the bug from your arm and getting rid of it, the mosquito that's about to bite you, you pick it up and you throw it away. So what about Tiltal Muksa? So that's what the Rashba is answering. Tiltal Muksa will be matir because it's like kotz birshos arabim. And in terms of the iser of tzeda, so that's like kemisasek. Fine. And it's an interesting chiddush because, you know, usually that heter is only by kotz birshos harabim, because of nezek derabim, and here we seem to be matering it even shelo yishchenu. But it could be, the pshat is, that over there, even though it's birshos harabim, it's not so much hezek derabim, because even if it were to remain in birshos harabim, only one person would be hurt by the kotz, and still tiltal muksa is mutter. Anyway, we'll have to get back to that point a little later when we do that tzugya nun membeis, when we do mechaber. So lemaisa, what comes out? Let's talk about all this pilpul. What comes out lemaisa in terms of trapping pests and bugs and the like? And these questions, especially as the summer approaches, certainly do come up.
Are we doing formally?
Sure hope so, but we'll have to find out. Okay. So, Lemaisa, Hatzad, we have basically Sif Zayin and Sif Tes. So, Sif Zayin, Hatzad Nechashim Vakravim, Oshar Ramasim Hamazikim. So, we have to figure out what is included in Shar Ramasim Hamazikim. In other words, what types of things are similar to snakes and scorpions, But either way, if your tzad nechashim akravim shara masim amazikin b'shvil shelo yeshchenu, it's mutter. So here we're matir, even though it's b'mino nitzod, like the nachash, and we're matir. So even though this could be an issur d'oraisa, because it's enetzrich l'gufa, and b'mokom tzar they were matir. And l'chora over here, we're only matir things that are similar to nechashim and akravim, which have, though they're not, we're not dealing with pikuach nefesh over here, but they have a pretty, tough bite. It's pretty painful. And that's why they were matir enetzrich l'gufa, because it's a pretty painful bite. But with respect to killing, so that we have in Sif Yud, and we say that if they're ratzim acharav, it's mutter lahargam, otherwise it's aser, but it's still mutter ladorsam lefi tumo, even b'miskavein, that's the conclusion against Rashi, like the other Rishonim. So again, when it comes to category one, which are nechashim, akravim, and the like, it's not just those, he says, Osha Ramasim Hamazikim. But when it comes to Nechashim, Akravim, and the like, so trapping them is mutter, no matter what, and killing them is aser, unless they're Ratzin Acharav. Or you do it Lefi Tumo. And if you do it Lefi Tumo, even though you're Mechavein, it's mutter. And we explained why before, why it is that Hariga is more Chamor than Tzeda. Okay, Siftes, we have, we'll call category two bugs. Things like the Parush, like the mosquitoes, biting pests, but ones that aren't terribly painful. So what's the halacha with the Parush? So you can't trap it unless it's already on your skin and about to bite you, like Tosfos. Now, we'll talk about this in a moment, but I think anytime you have a mosquito on your body, it's about to bite you, right? It's not like, they like hanging around on your skin, just to chill out. If they're there, they're getting ready. They're there to bite. So if you have a mosquito on your skin, though we paskin, it's aser lahargo, so you can't smush it, you can't swat it, obviously, if you could just blow it away or shake it off, that's far better. But let's say he's on tight and you can't shake it off or blow it off or the like, then it would be mutter to trap it in order to remove it. That is the heter of siftes. And again, we paskin, but killing it would be aser for the reasons that we said. Now, the Shaar Tzion, Sif Katan Samach Gimel, writes that there's a machlokas aposkim whether okzo is dafka or lav dafka. For example, if the mosquito is inside your clothing, the taz is still matir. L'chora the magen avram is machmir. Not clear how we paskin. The Mishnah Berurah says, therefore, in that case, if it's possible, try to get rid of it without trapping it. But you get the impression that he's mekel mikra adin. In other words, even though it's not mamish on your flesh about to bite you, it's like, I don't know, and I could flew into your shirt or something, then you could be makel probably to trap it to get rid of it, but it's best not to. So that's category two. Category three would be non-biting bugs, like fleas that don't usually bite, or flies or the like. Then obviously there's no heter to trap them whatsoever, even if they're annoying you. They're a nuisance. People don't like flies flying around their house. But l'chora, there's no heter at all to trap those. And then again, I guess we should have actually mentioned category zero. So we'll go back to zero, which is obviously if we're dealing with a pikuach nefesh type of snake, then of course it's mutter lahargan, even if they're not ratzin acharav. There are certain types of poisonous snakes or the like that you could trap them or kill them or do whatever you need to do to make sure that you don't die. So those are the four categories of nuisances. Just 1 second, Aaron. So let's talk a little bit more practically. So again, we said l'chora, you could trap a mosquito if it's on your skin, but not if it's flying around the room, right? But a bee, so what would we treat a bee? Would we treat a bee like an akrav, or would we treat a bee more like a parush? Would we say a bee is like siftes, in which case it's only mutter to trap if it's about to sting you? Or would we say, no, a bee is more like an akrav, because bee stings hurt a lot? So this is a big machlokas haposkim. The Alter Rebbe thought that a tzira, which is a bee or a hornet, yellow jacket, is more like a parush of sif tes, and therefore you can't trap a deer unless it's about to sting you. But others disagree. Nissen Karelitz sounded more like we could treat it like sif zion. It's more like an akrav. I saw Shmir Shabbos, Kilchasa, the Orcho Shabbos are more note to Lahachmir, like the Alter Rebbe. But I saw that some of the American poskim, like the Rabbi Ribiat and Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn, are more note to Lahakel, like I thought. That's my inclination. And the reason is because even though, you know, we're wimps nowadays, maybe that's true. Maybe in the times of the Alter Rebbe, you know, bee sting, shmi sting, you know, who cares? And if you feel that way, then you could be machmir. But I know that, you know, like when a bee flies into our house or to our sukkah or the like, everybody starts shrieking and going crazy and getting very, very nervous and scared and running away and worried and crying. So lemaisa, this is something that that people see as having a lot of tsar, and they're matir, we're matir b'makom tsar, and so again, it might just be because we're very wimpy people these days, but lemaisa, the fact is that people are really scared of getting a bee sting. Now, I'm not talking about people with an allergy. If you have a bee allergy, it's probably pikuach nefesh, and it's category zero, right? Go kill it. Don't wait around. Even people without allergies. Lemaisa, bee stings hurt for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, and people get very, very scared about them. And therefore, I think it's reasonable to assume that this is more like the nachash and the akrav of Sif Zion, in which case it's mutter to trap the bee, even if it's not about to sting you. Whereas again, if you treated it like sif tes, then if it's about to sting you, then you could trap it. But if it's just like flying around your house, you would not be able to trap it. Now, even though the Shulchan Aruch only permits, Aaron, your question.
So this is really from Rav Chaim, but Rav Shechter quoted this in one of his Corona Tshuvas by Zoom, that if you can't function, so you're under the, you have the status of pikuach nefesh. So even if you're not going to commit suicide, even if you can't function, so would that apply to category zero? Let's say I have an animal that it doesn't really kill people, but I view it like us. I don't know. I'm giving an example of a bear. So bear can kill. But let's say you have a bear that can't kill, but you're just freaking out.
Bears can kill. I understand. Okay. So.
You said that. You said a psychological. Aaron, you showed this to me. This not. You said a psychological danger is pikuach nefesh. Not if you can't function.
In other words, what Donnie is saying is usually not functioning is what we call chol hashein bo
sefach. Fine. I'm psychologically crazy if there's
so animal. Why don't we? Bezos Hashem. We'll have a chance. It's on the agenda. We'll talk about the after it's over, because I have some interesting things on the agenda. But I'd like to go back to pikuach nefesh, and we did chol hashein bo sakana, but we didn't do chol hashiyesh bo sakana. So I think it's a very important topic to discuss, which is what's the gadir of chol hashiyesh bo sakana, and especially the question that you're bringing up, which is how do we treat a psychological distress and fear suicide and other such things. So now is not the time to answer that question. The answer is you could only do an Isser D'oraisa if it's begeder cholash yesh bo sakana, and Bezras Hashem will have a chance to talk about cholash yesh bo sakana. It happens to be that since we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, killing or trapping is never an iser d'oraisa anyhow. But lemaisa, so but that's the basic rule. Okay. Now so also I would be mosif, you know, when I said another tzad to be makel for bees is I said anyway, I think that, you know, anyway, my intuition is more like the poskim that say it's like Siv Zion. But remember that bees, at least when we're dealing with trapping them, is a double derabanan. Now, not all bees, right? We saw there's machlokas, a poskim maybe, whether a true bee, honeybee, is yesh b'mino nitzot or en b'mino nitzot. The Beis Yosef sounds like he thinks it's yesh b'mino nitzot, others disagree. But usually the types of bees that everybody's worried about, like in the sukkah or the like, are not bees, they're yellow jackets, which are hornets. They're not honeybees. So I think yellow jackets for sure are en b'mino nitzot. So again, to be makel, to allow for trapping, even when it's not about to sting you, is being makel on a double derabanan b'makom tsar. It's not even a single derabanan, which is again another tzad maybe to be more noted to the mekilim, that the bees are more like sif zayin than sif tes, that the bees are more like the nachash v'akrav, because again, especially because we're dealing with an iser, a double derabanan.
Hemichayev change rooms.
Well, okay. So this is an interesting question, which is, we'll bring this up. So let's say you're afraid that a bee or a wasp is going to sting someone. So we're saying it should be mutter to trap them, since these bites cause a severe pain. The Mishnah Berurah, by the way, points out Chav Zayin, that it's better if you're going to trap them, it should be in some type of makeshift trap, as opposed to. But I think that's always going to be the case. Now, and just one other ha'ara, which is, you know, there is no issue at all, I think, with using insect repellents. That doesn't kill anything. I mean, maybe spraying the insect repellent onto the animal would be usher. That might kill it. I don't know. But certainly, like, spraying yourself or the like isn't.
Is there an issue a little bit about Zohra when you spray insect repellent?
Yeah, so we thought that there's room for
that. And make sure to do it inside.
Okay. So a very common question everybody wants to wonder about is, what about Molad Recha, I know, is the shaila of what to do on Yantif, right? Let's imagine you have a bee in your sukkah. So there's actually a question. This is a question on three levels, which is why it's so interesting. Number one is, it's a Hilchos Sukkah question. Would we say you should use these kulas to either kill or trap, or would you say, no, look, if right now a bee's in your sukkah and your mitzvah is patur min ha-sukkah, and instead of doing a kuntz, melacha shein tzricha l'gufa b'makom tzar, to trap the bee and thereby stay in the sukkah, one tzad to say is, look, so I'm patur now, and I'll just go inside. There are no bees inside. Or do we say, no, it's better to trap the bee, because l'maisa, assuming that our pshat is correct, that a bee is like the akrav, so then it's mutter to trap the bee. And therefore, if it's mutter to trap the bee, so trap the bee and stay inside the sukkah. But we saw in Siv Zayin that you're not allowed to kill the bee, so that's aser. There's also another tzad, which is maybe, if it's yantif, it would be better to kill the bee. Aye, didn't we say before that killing bees is certainly aser? The answer is, except maybe if they're chasing you, but killing bees is certainly aser. No, maybe not. Why? Because yantif, maybe we could be matir because of ochal nefesh. That you're allowed to, we know you're allowed to do shechita, you're allowed to kill an animal for ochal nefesh. And therefore, maybe you could argue that the best thing to do on yantif is to actually kill the bee. Seida, we discussed last time, is not mutter because of ochel nefesh. For whatever reason, we had five different reasons why you can't do seida on yantif for ochel nefesh. But shchita is mutter for ochel nefesh. And this bee is what's preventing me from enjoying my meal. So maybe I should be able to kill it. And mitoch shehotra. So this is a suffix that Rosh Shlomo Zalman has. It's in Mincha Shlomo, Tanyana, Simen Samech Os Chaf Ches. He's talking here about Harigas Yitush Biyantif. L'chor tzach lios mutter, mishum, mitoch, kemoshe kasav, de mitoch shotra netils nesham l'tzorcho ochon nefesh, achanami hotra b'zeh. It's definitely tzorch yantif. It's not tzorcho ochon nefesh, right? You can't eat the bee. But you can... but it's tzorech yantif, and we should say mitoch. V'shaber yesh b'zeh tzorech tzas, sharem afriyo, umetzaro. So then he says, maybe not. Mikol makom afshe d'chol zeh, dafka kein sefer z'gadzim l'chom z'bezal, z'yikr, huakilo, mazini hacha, k'shat tzorech hu k'day, shu chalisha, mikol makom afshe, de'en lasos kein l'chatchila, de'afshe shu gam, hori ke'ela, sh'enim afriyim klal, agopanim, li en zeh barer. So he goes back and forth and back and forth as to whether this would be mutter. There's some achronim who say that you can't be matir hariga because you're also in violation of tzeda. This is a very interesting question, right? L'chora, every time you kill the bee, you've also trapped the bee. And we said before, there's no mitoch on tzeda. The ravya is actually a misupik about whether every hariga you're in violation of tzeda. And the Minchas Solas on the Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Lamed Beis Oschaf Ches says that the Yerushalmi says that if you're Tzad Bal Chai Al Yidei Hariga, you're Mischayev Mishum Tzad. Now, I'm not sure that's so pasha in Yerushalmi, but that is one Tzad that a number of Achronim say to be Machmir. And therefore, maybe this isn't a good cheshbon. Now, l'chora, by the bee, in other words, that would be a reason to be machmir by the mosquito. Because like we said, mosquito is certainly usher to, a mosquito is usher to trap unless it's about to bite you. But for a bee, there's much more of a tzad to be makel here. Why? Because if you think that we're correct, that you're allowed to trap the bee, so then you would say, so killing the bee is better than trapping the bee, because killing the bee might be mutter alts mitoch. And even if you're going to say like the ravya that, well, you also trapped it, but trapping is mutter in this case. So you can make the case that killing the bee is better, or you could make the case that no, there is no mitoch over here, and therefore trapping it is better. Lysa the Shulchan Aruch says trapping it is mutter. So there's tadim lakan ulakan, and different poskim recommend different things. There are poskim that say it's better to trap. There are poskim that say it's better to kill. Again, if you're going to be matir killing, you have to make sure that it's only on yantif, not on Shabbos. Shabbos certainly killing is aser, which might be a reason why it's better to trap, because people get confused. They're going to remember that on yantif they killed the bee, and they're going to think, okay, you know, that's more, you know, mali yantif, mali Shabbos. Most people don't chap this mitoch business, and that kashchita is mutter letzairach. So maybe sort of more for policy reasons to prevent people from getting confused, it could be trapping is better. But the pashtus is you can make the case, you can make a strong case that either trapping or killing the bee in the sukkah is mutter, certainly if it really bothers you. If it really bothers you. So maybe you'll say, okay, the only ones that it really bothers are the women, and they could go inside anyway. But I'll leave you to figure out how to navigate that situation. I just want to quickly talk about Hariga Lefi Tumo. It's a big sugya, but we're not going to have a chance to do it, but we'll say some Roshi Prakim. So the Gemara in Kuf Chaf Aleph on the base says, Chai V'remes, that bite, so like a, so, well, we have all the different levels. Sometimes you could kill them, but if they're not very dangerous, then you can't kill them unless they're Ratzon Acharav. But if they're Yoshin B'Makoman, since they're not dangerous, you can't kill them. Or if they're running away from you, you can't kill them. But still, the Gemara says, Darsan Lefi Tumo B'Shas Halichasan V'Hargan. But, well, you could like walk across the room, and it happens to be that when you're walking across the room, you step on this this bug and you kill it. So what does Lefi Tumo mean, and why is it mutter? So Rashi there sounds like he's saying that it's mutter because Dav Shem is Kavein. It's mutter Leilach Kedarko. You walk, you do your normal walk, and you don't have to like try to avoid it because it's Darshan Uskavin. And that's why Rashi says, according to Rebuta, this would be Aser, but according to Rabbanan, it would be Mutter. And in this case, Reb Yehuda wasn't Gozer because it's Mazikin. In other words, Rebuta thinks that this type of Darshan Uskavin is only Asmud Rabbanan, and that's why they were Mati. And according to Rashi, this whole cool is only necessary Libet Reb Yehuda. If you felt like Reb Shimon Lididan, you don't even need the Atter of Lefi Tumo in the first place, because Darshan Uskavin is mutter. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Darshan Uskavin is also here, you need a special heter of Lefi Tumo. That's what Rashi says. So the Rishonim all ask on Rashi that the Lashon of the Gemara really doesn't sound this way. The Lashon of the Gemara later on is Tzira Ani Horeg. Sounds like you're miskavein for this. And therefore they say, no, we're talking about where you are miskavein. So what's the pshat? Why do you need Lefi Tumo? Because Kol Hefchad Efshar Lashanos Mishaninan, or maybe because it's Mefursim, like Tosfos. So you have to look like you're not Mechavein, so it's not Mefursim Amilsa. But really the reason why this is Mutter is because Ein Etzricha Lagufa. And therefore, this is only Mutter, Alibid Reb Shimon. Now, obviously, that Heter won't work for the Rambam, as we noted, because the Rambam Paskins like Reb Yehuda. And therefore, everybody tries to figure out what the Rambam holds over here. I'll read you the lesson of the Rambam. The Rambam writes that Vishar Kol Mazikin Mahu Ratan Acharav Mutter Lahargan Vim Hayu Yoshim Bimakoman Oborchin Milafanov Asr Lahargan Dim Darsan Lefi Tumo Bishas Hilucho Bihargan Mutter. So everybody tries to figure out what does he mean? If you say that the Rambam learns like Rashi, it makes sense. Because if you think that this is a heter of Dav Shem Miskavein, so then it's great. Then even though he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda by Ein Etzricha Lagufa, you could paskin that this is Mutter. But the Magen Mishnah doesn't want to say this because he thinks that Rashi is a very shver pshat, and he doesn't think like the Rambam sounds much like Rashi either. So it has to be then that this is not a case of you are mechavein. Well, how in the world could the Rambam be matir if it's mechavein? So you have to say it's sakanas nevashos, and that's what the Lacha Mishnah says. If you learn like the Magen Mishnah. If you learn like the Magid Mishnah, it has to be Da'achem Mishum Pikuach Nefesh Etiru Daimed L'El. So the reason why the Rambam is Matir Lefi Tumo is only B'Makom Pikuach Nefesh. But the problem with that pshat is Lashon of the Rambam also didn't sound much like Pikuach Nefesh. And moreover, if it was Pikuach Nefesh, why do you need Lefi Tumo? So there's a Tshuva Saradvaz that I sent you to look at, Chelek Hay. Simen Kuf Mem Tes. He's really very bothered by this. First, he thinks the better pshat is to learn Rashi, Rambam like Rashi, because it doesn't make sense to learn it like the Magid Mishnah. But then he says, maybe not, because it doesn't sound like Rashi. And he goes back and forth. In the end of the day, it's not actually so clear. He's more noted to learn that he learns like Rashi, but he has some explanation if you hold like the Magid Mishnah. It's not clear what his explanation is for the Magid Mishnah. It sounds to be something along the lines of what Aaron was actually talking about before, which is there's no sakana if they're not Rodev Acharav, and therefore you should walk in a different way. But when it's Darso Lefitumo, so there is a sakana if you don't kill it, and therefore it's not a malacha. But since it's a mefarsima, you should do it. Some type of mishkababble of explanations why this is like a quasi-sakana. If you're going this way anyway, then it's a sakana, and if it's a sakana, you could kill it, and you didn't, but so you can't go this way unless it's Lefi Tumo, something along those lines. The Merkevus Mishnah says that the kula has to be Darshan Miskavein. Maybe they won't die. And that's why Rambam uses a lashon of the Hargan, means that you happen to have killed it. In other words, it's a little better than saying, oh, you know, you might not have stepped on it. No. Tirani Horeg, you knew you were going to step on this thing. But as we all know from cockroaches in the heights, you could step on them lots of times and they simply run away, seem to be remarkably unharmed by your steps. So it's a darshan riskavein because they might not die. So if it's ana miskavein, then why do you need lefitumo? No, you're miskavein to step on them, you're not miskavein to kill them. But why do you need lefitumo? He says, because it's exeira shama yiskavein lahargan. In other words, he sort of understood b'li kavana laharog. I don't know, you're just trying to injure them or something, scare them, achveis. That's what the Magen Mishnah says. Okay, we still have, we're not done yet. I want to talk about, but we're mostly done. We're mostly done. I don't think we have that much left. And we also shnayim shesa'uha and tzedes anashim. So this is, I want to ask you guys a question. I'll turn off the recording so everybody can feel free to answer honestly.